Yeah, I guess we'll start it. Hey guys, what's up? Tanner and Jared here.
Hey.
From Brew Chat. You're back at it here, episode 139, I believe, of the Brew Chat podcast. Yeah. We literally just got back from seeing Avengers Infinity War, like, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
We're going to give you a review here. Want to warn you guys, spoilers abound. If you have not seen Avengers Infinity War, go out and see it and then come back and listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Because we're going to spoil the shit out of it for you. And you do not want this movie spoiled. It's phenomenal. You don't want it spoiled. But before we get into the episode, I want to remind you guys, get down to Riverside Wine and Spirits this Friday. I think it's 4 to 6. I can't remember what their growler promo is this week. I don't think they had it on their board, so I'm not entirely sure. It's a surprise. Look at it that way. It's a surprise. So get down there 4 to 6 for the growler promo on Friday. And then Saturday 4 to 6, they're going to have a wine tasting. So get down there for that as usual. And they've also, they've got a new collective Project Goza that just came out. We're tasting it tonight, but they only have a select few. So make sure you get down there and get it. And there's only a select few in town, actually. They're kind of little Goza-y nuggets of gold peppered throughout town.
Nuggets,
so I'm excited to have
goes.
It. Nuggets of goes. And so, yeah, get down to Riverside Wine and Spirits. I think that's all we've got that we need to mention right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Fine. Remember to check us out on brewchat.com, brewchat across all social media platforms, and on the Hopped Up Network at thehoppedupnetwork.com. But let's get done with talking so we can crack these beers. So let's get our theme song. We're recording all this in one take because we're excited. So
do it.
Let's do the theme song.
Yeah.
Things that were going on.
I was trying.
Yeah, there you go. And forgot to unmute you.
Oh,
so
thanks for that.
You're back in here, Jared.
Yeah,
you're back in.
I was trying to figure out which one of these beers to open first. I think we should do this collective Project Goza first.
Let's do it. That's kind of the special one for the night because it's kind of rare. And I did sort of have a theme for the beers tonight. We've got some Infinity Stones here on the table. We're all decked out. We'll post pictures.
We've been collecting them.
Yeah, and then we went and saw the movie. So I tried to do... this is me attempting to bullshit an Infinity Stones theme here. Is I was like, okay, they got to have some colors. I tried to get some sort of... we need the bucket.
Oh, nope. It stopped.
Oh.
False alarm, but I could use a paper towel. A single paper towel is all that I need. I said it again because the S kind of whistled and I thought it might be easier for you to use.
But yeah, so we're sitting here, Infinity Stone themed beers. Not really. It's just me bullshitting, trying to force a theme here because we wanted to review this movie. But so we've got this one, space. It's like the Space Stone. It's got a spaceman on it. He's blasting through space.
He is.
And it is a Himalayan sea salt goza.
Yeah, an ale brewed with blackberry, black currant, lemon zest, coriander, and Himalayan salt. 5.2 ABV. At Collective Brew, collectiveartsbrewing.com. Art by Lior Shkedi Herzliya Israel.
These are the ones we've been a fan of from good old Canada. Our buddies up north.
Yeah, Collective
our neighbors,
Arts.
And they get artists to design different art for all of the cans. So I think that's pretty cool.
It's pretty neat.
Ah. Ooh, that thing, it looks like a wine.
It sure does. It's quite fruity looking.
Whoo! Oh, that smell. That smell is something else.
Oh, I haven't got there yet. Hold on.
That is not the smell I expected from this at all.
Oh, right.
Oh, it's not like it.
That would go well with like some, like Fromunda cheese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it does not taste the way it smells, because it smells a little bit like some Fromunda cheese.
Who?
It's stinky. What gives it that smell? What is in there? And this isn't necessarily, it's not a good smell. I don't enjoy that smell at all. Like, this is a smell you try to get rid of in things.
Oh, just like trash water.
Yeah. Yeah, it smells like that sweet trash smell of that water that seeps. Like, if you've ever worked in a restaurant and that liquid that leaks out of the trash cans out behind the building and it just kind of runs into a drain.
Yeah.
That sweet, sugary trash juice smell, that's kind of how this smells.
It's like, it smells like whatever that not blood was that got splattered on Black Widow's face.
Yeah. See, it tastes good though, but I cannot smell it drinking it.
Oh, that's terrible.
It tastes good. It tastes really good.
Good.
But the smell of it, Jesus.
That is tart. Ooh,
yeah.
Dry, but kind of juicy. Weird. Kind of like a sweet tart. Raspberry, would you say? Oh, right. Black currant.
What is currant?
I think black currant is like black licorice kind of flavor.
That would explain it. That's that smell. Mm-hmm. That is totally that smell. Ugh. Yep. It's got like a Jaegery sort of scent to it, which is licorice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks, Collective Arts. That is definitely different. Blackberry. That's pretty tart as well. Black currant. Lemon zest. You can get some lemon zest. Coriander. And Himalayan salt. Yeah, it's not bad. It smells terrible.
It smells 100% terrible.
Oh, God. Jesus.
It's the licorice in there, but it just smells terrible.
But it looks pretty great.
And it tastes great. Have you tasted it yet?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I've been drinking it. Yeah.
What's the ABV on this?
5 point whatever I said.
5.2.
Yeah. But it's pretty thick and pretty bubbly. And the head is the same color as the beer almost. A little bit lighter, but it's also that pinkish reddish raspberry color.
It's kind of thick and syrupy. It's got a little bit of like a cough syrupiness to it.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Ooh, right. That smell, though, smell you do so not bad. Get used to that smell.
Mm-mm.
You do not.
No, that's pretty rough.
Ooh.
Okay, well, we also have these other ones that are like Iron Man colored. No, you got these ones. You can go ahead and you can explain.
Yeah, this is the Hardcore Chimera Imperial India Pale Ale from Finch Beer Company.
Chimera, I think. Is it the Chimera. Three-headed
Yeah, I probably
thing?
Pronounced that right. Yeah. Yeah, it's got three heads. It's got a ram, a lion, and a snake.
That sounds about
right. But it's an Imperial IPA.
Yeah.
A monster. Five varieties of American hops make this IPA a monster.
Hmm. Much like Thanos.
Yep. And that was the thing, too, is I wanted us to have to fight a little bit.
Yeah.
And so far, we're having to fight this because it's stinky as hell. It's hard to battle.
This is round one, and I'm not sure if I've made it through yet.
And that's like the soul stone right there because it's nice and bright and red.
Yeah. We're going to have to get these lined up here for.
And then we're going for the mind stone here since it's yellow.
Yeah.
Oh, this kind of has a slight little pinkish hue to it as well. Mm-hmm. Unless I had.
That might just be from sitting
in front of the light.
Pretty vibrant. This one is also kind of hazy. Well, it's a, what'd you say, Imperial IPA?
Yep.
So, yep. It's got a pretty nice head on there. That is gold, like the Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, that one, that works. That is a pleasant change from that smell of that first one. Which, again, that first one, it tastes good, but I've got to go back to that. It's the contrast between the taste and the smell, and then I hate the smell, but it tastes good. But it's hard to get down.
I'm sure this beer is dangerous. What'd you say the ABV was? 9-something?
I don't think I did. Read it to us there.
Alcohol by volume, 9%.
9%. We've got to fight it a little bit.
Yeah. 5 varieties, mm-hmm. You said. Yeah. Brewed and canned. Warning. Don't drink alcoholic beverages if you're pregnant. Illinois. Yeah. That is a dangerous 9% beer. It doesn't smell strong.
No, it doesn't smell strong at all. It's kind of got a...
I like the smell more and more.
Like a little bit of a farmhousey ale thing going on a little bit.
Yeah. With a little bit of toe jam. I don't know if I'm... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm still getting some of that other one, but maybe a little toe jam in the farm.
There's a little toe jam in the farm.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, a little toe jam in the farm.
It is a good change. I approve this one. 100%. It smells good. It tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little... It's kind of funky.
It's ripe.
But it said it's got 5 different hops in there, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like this. The Hardcore Chimera. Mm-mm. Yeah, it's pretty good. Okay.
I like that one.
Should we mash up the jam, or should we
save it? Let's mash up the jam. Let's get through these beers so we can talk about this movie here. That's what we're excited about.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's like I know, you know, it's taking precedence over the beers.
You should get another one of these.
Is that one nasty looking?
No. Just so we have another one. We can have them uniform. This one is also from Collective Arts. It is Mash Up the Jam, the Dry Hop Sour. 5.2% ABV. So I figure we can also have like the build up with this first 5.2.
Yeah.
And then we have the big battle. And then we have the resolution with this one over here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why you chose with Mash Up the Jam.
I don't know. It was red.
Yeah.
You know, and I liked it's the artwork on it. It's another Collective Arts. And the artwork on it has all these red snakes, and it reminded me of the crimson bands that Doctor Strange uses.
Makes. Yeah. Or like when Groot tries to do stuff, and you know,
but he's more specifically the crimson bands.
Yeah, those crimson bands. Yeah, and then there's this wolf here with a duck and a bird. Ah, this one's also quite full.
And not to overstate it, but if you are still listening to this podcast at this point, I've not seen the movie, stop, because we're about to get into the movie stuff. But as you're pouring that, I'll sort of explain. Let's save any of our negatives until the end. But right off the bat, this was your first time seeing it.
Yes, it was.
It's my like fourth or fifth, and really trying to break it down. And it was just as interesting watching other people's reactions and like your reactions to things that I knew were coming.
Yeah.
And just hearing people just,
oh no, I definitely.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because
it's that sort of movie.
When they're chasing them, whatever, like through the alley.
Yeah.
When they're trying to run away and then they're just having a conversation. Like right through the back and just like, oh my God.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
No, there towards the beginning when Vision gets, sort of.
Yeah. He gets stabbed.
So, but no, it is a brutal movie. I mean,
it is. Oh, it starts off with Loki dying.
Yeah. I like how these movies, the Avengers movies have set up. They kind of start like a James Bond movie. You've got a big action set piece and then the title card.
Yeah.
Kind of like a James Bond film.
Oh yeah. No. That's the way to do it.
This one, like up until now, we've seen the Avengers kick ass and we've had this safety net. Like even with Ultron, I never felt like there was anything really at stake with Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, there is the Avengers. Like, they're going to save the day. And that's how we were supposed to have felt up until this point, just because that's where they wanted us to have that safety net, just so they could rip it out from under us with this. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, I guess let's break down the story a little bit, but it's like it starts out and right
hold
in the
on,
beginning.
But, hold that thought, Tanner, because we still have this last beer, and if you haven't even sniffed it yet, you definitely should.
Okay.
And if you haven't tasted it yet, you definitely should.
I've done neither.
You should, definitely.
It's not. It's got a funky smell, but it is nothing like that first one.
Yeah. Smells almost like an IPA.
What kind of beer is this again?
This is a dry hop sour, which would explain why it smells like an IPA.
I really like this.
I'm sure you do. It's quite tasty, isn't it?
It's super tasty.
It's very refreshing, and
it's also not really sour.
No, it's. I mean, it's sour, but yeah, it's.
But if I were going to get somebody into sour, especially if they're an IPA drinker, this one's the one to do it.
Yeah, it's sour. It's sour like a shandy.
It looks like a shandy.
It does look like a shandy. Almost like a cider, but
yeah,
super...
Yeah, it's like a yellowy...
Cloudy. Like a... Yeah, pale yellow. I think I'm done spilling stuff over here.
Yeah, you wanted just one, but I'm glad I brought extras.
Yep. Yeah, I'm glad you did. I didn't realize the other ones were going to be fighting me, too.
No, it's a battle tonight.
I think we're
it's
good.
It's a battle.
Yeah, no, we fought it well.
Yeah.
We're good with that.
Still, that first one, that's a doozy.
Well, we're going to have to overcome.
I'll get through
it. We're going to have to triumph, even though that's not what happened in the movie.
No, it's not. So, yeah, let's break down the story a little bit. Just nutshell the story.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it opens up, like we said, and like in the first 10 minutes.
So before even we get into what happens there, this movie starts off with, you know, it assumes that you've watched everything up until
you
now.
You need to see everything up until then. I mean, you could skip a couple things, but for the most part, you need to see all the major beats.
Yes.
To enjoy this.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, go ahead.
But no, I was just going to say, like, it starts off in the first 10 minutes. Like, this movie's taking no mercy with the killings.
Mm-mm.
And in the first 10 minutes before the title card, Loki's bit the dust. All those Asgardians that we saw get saved at the end of Thor Ragnarok.
They did.
Well, maybe not all of them, but
Thanos
did say half.
Yeah.
Yeah. So half the Asgardians left it. Thor the Dark World got left. But who's to say where they are? Did he leave them alive and then just blow up their ship? Because he killed a fuck ton of Asgardians before he even blew up the ship.
Yeah. Maybe he added them to his army. They said he had the largest army in the universe, but all I saw was a bunch of Kree.
Oh, it's like Chitauri.
They're Chitauri?
Well, he had a bunch of Chitauri and then a bunch of those Saccharans. From the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. He had a bunch of those Sakaarans. He had a bunch of those. And then there were the children of Thanos that were like his four main dudes.
His horsemen.
Yeah, and I think one of those, none of those were Kree, but Ronan was one of those dudes. And then Ronan got too big for his britches.
Yeah.
And that's the villain from Guardians 1.
Right.
But there was one guy that was in Thanos' army that I'm fairly certain, I think it was Corvius Glaive, the one that stabbed Vision.
Okay, yeah, the tricksy one.
Yeah.
The one that was like a goblin.
The one that looked like the Green Goblin.
Yeah, there's a video game called Styx, and you're like a goblin assassin. S-T-Y-X, I think is what it is. It was free on Xbox Live.
But I'm pretty sure that guy, if not, he looks like he could be a Skrull. And I know they're introducing Skrulls in Captain Marvel.
Okay.
So he looks like he could be a Skrull.
So he could be.
But anyway, back. So yeah, in the first 10 minutes of the movie, gone. You've got Loki gone. You've got Heimdall gone.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, I don't know, no body, no death. So Valkyrie's probably still alive. Korg's probably still alive. But then what's amazing is you get... I went into the movie thinking... Like, okay, I was thinking this like 2 weeks before the movie. It's like, I wonder if Thanos, like just base level Thanos, how strong he is compared to the Hulk. You get that answer in the first 10 minutes of the movie, and he kicks Hulk's ass up and down.
Yeah.
Like to the point where he lets Hulk kick his ass for a bit just so he can, you know, analyze his fight patterns a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hulk doesn't fight. He just bashes.
Yep.
So you add a little finesse to that power.
Wrecked.
Yeah, he gets fucking wrecked. And then Heimdall shoots him as Heimdall's like last vestige. He shoots, uses the Bifrost. And you sort of get an answer there of how Thor got to Earth in Avengers 1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by summoning dark magic from the Allfathers. And so Heimdall shoots shoots Hulk down to the Sanctum Sanctorum.
Yeah. And that all happens before the credits roll.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because then they go outside in the Sanctum Sanctorum and there's like a big fucking ship there.
Mm-hmm. This movie wastes no time getting its balls going.
It just goes and goes and goes. And I think they did a really good job. Yeah. We'll pause in the story because there's so much to talk about just in that first
bit. Yeah.
Like, just the, when it shows the locations,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was annoying in, I think it was Civil War, where they had them real big in the middle of the screen. I didn't mm-hmm. like that. But they did a nice job here of like fading them in and out, and they did it mm-hmm. pretty quick, but they're, you know, short names are on the bottom of the screen. You mm-hmm. can figure out what it says. And
no, and you're moving all over the place in this.
Yeah.
You're going to different realms. Like all the world building that we've spent the past 10 years with,
mm-hmm.
like through Thor and all this, all of that is combined now. We're mm-hmm. traveling through space. We're going to different realms, possibly dimensions. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly.
Tough to say.
Yeah, I don't really know if there's dimensions. I guess Doctor Strange, yes. There's no Ant-Man in this. So mm-hmm. definitely no quantum realm, but we'll get to future
Avengers comes up 4 later.
Stuff later. But
they even down to when they chose to put the titles at the bottom, the lower thirds with the locations. They waited. They didn't do it right at the beginning of the scene. I like
the subtle fade. They establish the scene and then they tell you
where it's at. And sometimes it was even for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, where the fuck are they? Did mm-hmm. they go? What was the name of the place they said they were? Oh, mm-hmm. okay, cool. And it did a really good way of introducing mm-hmm. it. And it is hard, real hard to keep track of that kind of stuff because there's a lot going on.
Yeah, you cannot get up. I mean, I got up and went and pissed this time just because
I've seen it a couple times.
I was relaxed. This was the first mm-hmm. time I felt that I was able to watch it and actually enjoy the movie, you know, because every other time, and I'm sure you're feeling super stressed right now after seeing that movie for the first time, because I was just like, what the fuck just happened? Like, how are they going to resolve any of this? Fortunately, I'm over here to ease it a little bit. Cause I do have some answers for certain things, not a lot, but, just nothing more than you would know once you get home and get on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But, so then it picks up. It takes no time to get the action rolling. Cause like we said, first 10 minutes, all that happens. And then Dr. Strange goes and grabs Tony Stark and is like, yo, I need your help. And then immediately they're just catching you up on exposition over the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm. It's really cleverly written with the dialogue.
Yeah.
Because they, even if you haven't seen the movies, it kind of gives you quick little backstories like, I was doing this and blah, 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 blah. I remember when blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. And they're having like a contest.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
well, this happened to me. Yeah. Well, this happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
So. Well, like when Drax said the thing about their dance, I was like, no, tell him about our dance off to save the galaxy.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll give you little quippy jokes and they're funny if you've seen it. But if you've not seen it,
mm-hmm.
it really catches you up. Like, yeah, you can watch this and still enjoy it and be like, oh, giant purple guy with a golden glove, evil as fuck.
Yeah.
All these guys good. Okay, got it. And then it peppers in these little,
mm-hmm.
you know, little exposition bits here and there. But that's what amazed me, is that they were able to do this.
Yeah.
Just bottom line.
They also did a good job of humanizing Thanos.
That was the best part. This is a Thanos movie. It is a Thanos movie, first and foremost.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It even says at the very end, where it usually says the Avengers will return. It just says Thanos will return. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we're going to have Thanos 2.
Yeah. And maybe we shouldn't go over the whole story. We'll just pick up on it because we'll be here all goddamn night if we go over every single story beat. But no, a bunch of people die in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, about half of our heroes, all of our heroes die.
Half of the world, half of the universe.
Yeah, half the entire universe.
Yeah. Long story short, Thanos gets a hold of all the Infinity Stones, snaps his fingers, and mm-hmm. alters reality.
And according to Doctor Strange, who does this nifty little trick with the Time Stone where he twitches out for a minute and he's able to survey, what was it, something like 14 million...
Yeah.
Outcomes or something like that. And mm-hmm. he only saw one, but that's scanning the multiverse.
Yeah.
So Thanos is only really fucking around with one universe.
Mm, that's true.
When you think about it. That's so
true. He's a sorcerer supreme.
And there's 14 million or so parallel universes.
Mm-hmm.
where he accomplishes his goal and Doctor Strange saw the one outcome where he didn't, which is why he ultimately, like, Tony Stark's about to die. And he says that thing before. He's like, look, it is my one job to guard this stone. And if it comes down to this stone or saving you guys, talking about to Spider-Man and Tony Stark, it's like, I'm protecting the stone. And then he ends up handing the stone off to save Tony Stark.
Yeah.
But that's because he saw those outcomes. And then he says towards the end, right before he dissolves in the snapping, he says, like, we're in the end game now. Because he knows something's going on. He's died before. He knows he's going to come back. But
it happens. Lots of people died. Black Panther out. He just got his own movie. He gone. We got Bucky. Bucky's gone. Let's
back up to Black Panther for a bit, though, because that's the one that took me out of it a bit. Even when I saw it the first time, because I was watching it, and me and you'd both had seen Black Panther right before this, and it made a shit ton of money. Black Panther did.
This fucking beer smells so bad.
It smells so bad, dude. It's terrible. Like, we have to fight it, though.
Oh, my God. I'm fighting through it.
But, no, as I was watching it, so if you didn't get the memo, Thanos snaps like he does in the comics and gets rid of half the life in the universe. He gets all six gems, snaps, destroys half the life in the universe. And so as people start dissolving, it's really emotional. Bucky dissolves. You see different people resolve. Rhodes is looking for Falcon, and then Falcon dissolves, which I thought that was sad because Rhodes could still be out there looking for him.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't even know he dissolved.
Yeah.
And then you see, you think one of these Dora Milaje warriors is going to dissolve, and then it shows Black Panther dissolve.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa. But that took me out of it a little bit, I'll admit, because I'm like, this was your last movie that came out, and it grossed a bajillion fucking gillion dollars.
Yeah.
You're not killing this character off. He's coming back.
He'll be back.
And I would have known that had I not known that there's already a Black Panther 2, like, on the docket. They're negotiating salaries right now for Ryan Coogler.
Yeah.
So there's already a Black Panther 2 greenlit. Disney's not going to kill off one of their most profitable characters.
No.
So it took me out of it a little bit with that.
Arguably one of the most important for the whole franchise now that he's had his own movie, especially and everything. Yeah. So they're definitely going to bring him back. And if they're going to bring him back, they're going to bring back Bucky. They're going to bring back Loki. They're going to bring back
Falcon. Not necessarily. See, that's where I draw the line.
They're going to bring back Spider-Man. There's
the snapping deaths, and then there are real deaths that didn't occur
also,
because of the snapping.
For the record, also known as the Snapshire.
Or the Snapshire, yes. Mm-hmm. Is so, yeah, when Thanos snaps his hand, people just start dissolving.
Yeah.
Half the population in the universe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we lose Spider-Man. Let's see, or we lose Spider-Man. In the snapping, these are characters we lost.
Black Widow.
Spider-Man. No, she's still around.
That's right, she's still
around. We're pretty much left with the OG Avengers.
Yeah.
Is who we're left at in the end. But we're left with Tony Stark is stranded with Nebula on Titan. Star-Lord's gone. Drax is gone. And again, these are all snapping deaths.
Yeah.
Drax, Star-Lord, Spider-Man, Mantis.
Groot.
Bucky.
Falcon,
Scarlet Witch. A bunch of Wakandan people.
Yeah.
Black Panther.
Nick motherfucking Fury.
Nick Fury and Mariah Hill. Yep. That's in the after credits scene, which we'll get to later. But a bunch of people, we lose a bunch of characters just in the snapping.
Yeah.
They're coming back. That shit's going to get reversed. Mm. They're straight up coming back. But
you don't think Loki's coming back?
I don't think Loki's coming back because if he comes back, it'll be through some time travel shenanigans. But he's dead, though.
He's dead.
Loki's finally dead, and there were some deaths that happened off screen. Or not off screen, but like off snapping that were real deaths. Like Choki gets choked the fuck out.
Oh, yeah.
He's dead. Heimdall's dead.
Vision's dead, technically, but they were messing with his circuits, so I mean, he'll probably be back pretty soon.
They'll figure out a way. They've got his
Ant-Man Wasp
data
baby.
Storage. Ant-Man and Wasp are alive because they've got a movie coming out.
Well, I mean, maybe they can come back and help fix Vision because Hank Pym was originally one of the ones who helped make him, right?
Well, I would say Shuri when Shuri and Wakanda when she was messing around with that stuff. I would say they'll probably explain it away where, you know, oh yeah, we backed up his mind before any of this, and she was able to rebuild it. Mm-hmm. She's basically an automatic fix, like how she was for Bucky.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, Bucky's not brainwashed anymore.
Which, cool. By the way, he got a sweet arm.
His arm was sweet as hell. It looked black and awesome. Gold.
Yeah. Yeah. Made it fucking... I know, right?
God, that beer's stinky. It tastes good, but it's stinky.
Vibranium.
Shit. But no, Bucky got a new arm. That was good. But, yeah, no, I thought it was really interesting. I wanted to drop an Iron Man thing on you of why... You know, it kind of ties in. Iron Man has to survive until Avengers 4, which is basically how it started. Is there was only going to be 3 Avengers films. And then Infinity War ended up being so big that then they started Infinity War Part 1 and 2. And then that branched off. Instead of Infinity War Part 2, it's just Avengers 4.
Okay.
So... It's definitely tying in.
Are they not
going to
call it Infinity War Part 2, though? They're just going
to... They've not released a title yet.
I don't see why not.
The Russo brothers, they filmed them back-to-back, and it's coming out a year from now, and the Russo brothers said they won't release it. We probably won't know the name of Avengers 4 until this is on DVD.
What if it's just, like, Thanos, and it's, like,
they said it's textured like his armor? They said it's a huge spoiler for this movie.
And it's just, like, the fist as the O with all the damn Infinity Stones.
They said
brought the Vision back to life just so he could kill him again.
They said the title for Avengers 4 is a huge title or a huge spoiler for Avengers 3, Infinity War. So with all that happens, who knows what it's called. But there's also been some set leaks with, I know they go back in time at least to, I don't know if they're going back in time, but somehow they get to the Battle of New York. Mm-hmm. And Ant-Man's there. Cap's in his Battle of New York gear from Avengers 1, all this. So I'm telling you all that to tell you this, is there's this whole thing I've got. So they kept Tony Stark alive, and there's that whole thing where Thanos turns to him after he gets the Soul Stone. He's like, Stark, I know you.
Yeah.
And Thanos knows him because he's got the Soul Stone. So he can just sort of sense, you know, who you are, and he's got this knowledge. Mm. But... Tony Stark and Thanos are the same fucking character. Just two sides of a coin. It's like you've seen, if you really watch attention, hear me out here. If you actually watch Iron Man 3, back to that for what it's about, it establishes that Tony Stark has this immense, immense guilt for trying to protect the Earth. That's his thing, is he realizes that he put so much damage out in the world for so many years by manufacturing weapons and realizing they were being dealt on the table. He has this immense guilt because of that, and it's led him down this path to create Ultron, to do whatever it takes to protect the Earth in whatever ways he can. And especially after he saw the wormhole in Avengers 1, he was like, I've got to protect this Earth. That's what I've got to do. That's the exact same thing. That's the same mentality Thanos has. It's like, I've seen my Earth or my planet die. And what killed it was that we had too many people sucking too many teats, and we ran out of food, we ran out of resources, and we all died where only half of us could have died. And it's an extreme fucking crazy measure. But Thanos' thing is he ultimately wants to save life.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy how they do that. It's really, really well done.
And so that's what I mean by him and Tony are the same characters. Like they both want to save what is theirs, but they both go about it in drastically different ways.
Okay.
And that's why it's a thematically a neat thing, storytelling wise to me, is like, oh, I know you, Stark. And that's why Tony Stark's going to last and be one of the last people to kill Thanos. Or he'll be there when Thanos dies, and he'll sacrifice himself or something. But I predict Tony Stark's going to die, and he's going to land one of the final blows on Thanos. Just because of how similar they are as characters.
Yeah.
It's yin and yang.
Yeah. Okay. You're getting me.
And that's largely established in Iron Man 3, where it's like... And then at the end, he gives up his suits, but then you find out he's like, he can't. Because he's got to protect the Earth. That's...
He tries to in the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
But like then
he's the
right
first one there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, aside from Doctor Strange, but the minute he sees that he's needed. He's like, I'm going to that fucking spaceship and I'm stopping this.
Yeah.
Like, he's an asshole, but he is the one that's going to be there on the front lines to defend Earth.
Watching him bicker with Doctor Strange was pretty damn great.
That was really great.
And also watching Chris Pratt bicker with all the other hunks that showed up on his ship that he hadn't met before was pretty great.
I was reading up on how they managed to do that, and apparently the Russo brothers who directed this, Civil War and Winter Soldier, they were really good about bringing in the respective writers and directors of those films and having them write and direct some of their scenes even. Like, all the Guardians dialogue was written by James Gunn.
That's cool.
Like, they may have given him, like, this needs to happen. Here are these story beats. He needs to say this, this, and this, but just make it Guardians.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I'm like, that's really cool that they pay that level of detail to it. Because it's amazing to me they've got so many characters in this, and it didn't feel crowded.
No, it when didn't you couldn't at all. Do a, it did a great job.
Joel Schumacher couldn't do a fucking Batman movie with three villains. You know? And then you've got something that's this fucking dense.
Yeah,
or that third Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie felt super crowded, and it clearly that wasn't the issue.
No, they did
bad filmmaking.
A great job of splitting people up, making it. It made sense why everyone was going with everyone else, and it was easy to remember what was going on.
Yeah,
it was really easy to remember what was going on.
There's a lot going on, but it's very easy to follow.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you've seen all the other movies.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you might be lost.
Yeah.
Well, or you'd be asking then, a lot of questions, but if you really paid attention, you'd get all the backstory in there. Because they throw it in the dialogue. It's awesome.
Well, and I feel, I don't know if it's that important, but it's like, I've been watching these movies for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And rewatching them and all this for 10 years. So I've got a good understanding of every little fiber of detail that's happened in these movies. So this was a huge payoff for super fans.
Yeah.
Because you get all these little tiny things. It's like, oh yes. Like, just to see Bucky smile, like a genuine smile at the sight of Steve. Like, he remembers who Steve is and they're not trying to kill each. That was a good thing for me.
Oh yeah. Especially after everything that happened in Civil War.
Yeah.
He's looking at the cell phone and he's like, oh, fucking old school phone.
Yeah.
Flip phone. And he's just got his number there, and he's like, we're not really on speaking terms right now.
Like, that was tough.
And
but
then everybody has to work together.
Mm-hmm.
Cap's got a fucking badass shield. I love that shield.
I'm waiting for the scene, though, because you know this is going to happen in Infinity War, is when Tony hands him the shield back.
Mm.
The round shield, like the shield. It's going to happen.
In the second one?
Yeah. In Infinity War Avengers 4,
it'll be Infinity War.
It'll happen.
I want to call it Thanos in Thanos 2.
I don't
2.
Know what it's going to be called, just because
Thanos will return.
Thanos will return, and he definitely will return.
Definitely.
But they said it's a huge spoiler for Avengers 3.
Yeah.
So that's why they're not releasing it until it's on DVD, just because they don't want to spoil the movie for people. So it's like, geez, what can it be? Like, everybody dies? Like,
I don't know.
I don't know what the title could be. Like,
I don't know.
Half the people come back to life.
Death of Tony Stark.
Mm.
Something like that.
Could be, yeah.
It'd be like calling, you know, Harry Potter 6, mm-hmm. the death of Dumbledore.
Yeah. I don't know. A bunch of people are complaining about I don't know. I read up on movies a lot. So I know it. I'm not saying this like I'm privy to some privileged information. It's just, I'm a movie nerd, so I read movie blogs and like movie news. Anybody else can go out there and read it. Just Google it.
Mm-hmm.
You can find out the same information I know. It's not hard to find. Like I said, with the Black Panther thing, there are some people that actually think it's like, well, they've killed off their characters. They just made that Black Panther and Spider-Man movie and they've killed them. Yep. They're dead. But it's like, no. They've got Black Panther 2 on the docket. They've got Spider-Man 2 on the docket. They've got Doctor Strange 2 on the docket. They've got Guardians 3 on the docket.
I'm excited for Doctor Strange 2.
Like, these people are coming back. in some capacity. It may be. What if they brought him back? Here's a crazy idea.
Okay.
What if they brought him back, but because the multiverse,
yeah,
those people just branch off into a completely different universe that doesn't have Iron Man, doesn't have Thor, doesn't have all these other characters. And so it completely separates some of the movies. So you can't have those interactions. I wouldn't like that because I like everybody interacting. I think that's what makes it fun, is it's hashtag all connected.
Yeah. Well, these were so great. It did a great job of bringing everyone together. I think everyone's met by now.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to keep track. I don't know if there's anyone who hasn't met
like Chris,
before.
Well, Star-Lord. I really want Star-Lord to go to Earth.
Star-Lord fucked up royally in this movie. Can we talk about that?
Let's do it. But
do your thing.
Well, I'm just saying I want Star-Lord to go to Earth and see Earth as it is now. But before you get into this, I just want to say that Doctor Strange knew he was going to fuck up.
I know.
Doctor Strange could have and would have stopped
that. I'm sure that happened in about 40 million of the 44 million whatever possibilities.
Yeah, Doctor Strange saw all of the possibilities.
Yeah.
And...
He
knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but God damn it.
He fucked up, though.
He fucked up royally. He fucked up.
Well, and so did Thor. Thor should have... I mean, Thanos says he's like, you should have aimed for the head.
Yeah.
Because Thor throws his hammer. Well, first of all...
His new hammer.
Yeah, let's back up a minute. Thor...
Got hit by a sun.
Yeah, Thor goes to Niflheim or somewhere... Wherever giant Peter Dinklage lives.
Oh my God, that was hilarious.
Which was awesome. And it's has the Star Forge, and it's where Mjolnir was forged, but they form Stormbringer, which is Thor's new weapon.
Yeah, it's
he
badass.
Goes there specifically with Rocket and Groot to build a weapon capable of killing a Thanos killing weapon mm-hmm. is what it is.
That's what it's for.
So it's half hammer, half axe, and he comes down to slaying like taking ass and kicking names, as Mantis would say.
Yeah.
In Wakanda, throws this hammer at Thanos after Thanos has the whole gauntlet and just like shoves it into his chest. And you're like, whoa, Thor's done it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thanos, you should have aimed for the head, and he snaps.
Yeah.
Thor fucked up just as bad as Star-Lord because Thor wanted that moment to be like, I killed you, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
I did it right before he did kill him. If Thor just aimed for the head or the hand, it was because he wanted to be able to be like, yeah, it was me. I told you I would kill you. Mm-hmm. You know, he wanted that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's a big theme in this movie, the hubris.
Yep.
And I mean, it's a big theme throughout literature and I know. Right.
That beer, man. It's just stinky. Mine. I guess
we're going to have to finish this thing off. It's only 5.2%. We can do it.
Oh.
We can chug it.
Whew.
It happens throughout the ages. The hubris gets the best of everyone. It's almost the best offense because it's always villains. Well, not always. Not in Infinity War. It goes both ways, like you're saying with Thor. Thor gets the hubris, could have stopped things.
Well, and that's
Thanos
kind of,
definitely has it because he seems like he has a little bit of remorse in here.
Yeah.
He sacrificed his daughter, who was the only thing
he
cared about.
That's always Thanos' downfall. Thanos is Thanos' own worst enemy, at least in the comics. Like, he's always fucking up his own shit in the comics.
It's the same thing with, like, Lex Luthor or any of those big villains. They always, like, even regular villains, like the Riddler.
Yeah.
Like, come on, you're leaving clues as to where you are? Who the fuck? Like, come on, man. Mm.
Well, yeah, Thanos, this whole movie, though, is very meta in a sort of way. And it fucks with the hubris of the MCU fan. Because, like I was saying earlier, is you go see Avengers 1, you get to see all these characters finally team up and they learn how to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time you get to Avengers Age of Ultron and that opening scene, they know how to work together and play with each other very well. And you're like, fuck yeah, these dudes can kick ass now.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you go on, you get to Civil War. Like, man, you guys played so well together. Quit fighting. Like, stop.
Yeah.
And then you get to this, and they've just been kicking ass this whole time and mostly succeeding. And then you get to this, and they just 100% lose.
Yeah. But like, they try their damnedest because you can see that they've all been doing this for a while. They've worked together a few times, and now they're used to doing heroic things because of all the shit that's happened to all of them.
But despite their damnedest,
yeah,
they fail.
They totally fail. Everyone does.
Like, there's no real glass half full for the Avengers. Mm-mm. Like, I was trying to think of one. It's like, if I was to, from an outside perspective, tell them, be like, well, look, guys, at least there's not one. Like, half of them die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have thought the movie was going to end after Thanos snapped his fingers.
I did too. What would you have done if it snapped? Because I thought that too the first time I watched
I would have just sat there just like,
I kind of wish they had ended it there. Fuck?
What?
I kind of wish they had ended it there. But then it leaves so much other shit open to interpretation. I like yeah. The Spider-Man, even though I know it's not real, that Spider-Man fade away.
Yeah.
The Spider-Man dusting, that
yeah.
was...
Yeah.
Whew. Tom Holland's a good little actor.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That's
He's
pretty
like good. 22.
Oh, man, his armor is sweet. The Scarlet Spider armor is fucking badass.
And you didn't think you were going to get that at first, and then it jumps out to save Doctor Strange, and you're like...
Phew. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Really cool things you can do with nanobots.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Hashtag fun with nanites.
I really liked seeing Iron Man fight other things that weren't just other Iron Men.
Mm-hmm.
And just like drone aliens and other like just beat 'em up situations.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch him fight magic and things like that. Because we've never seen that. This was the closest we'll get to watching the Tony Stark Iron Man battle the Mandarin.
With like...
Like the Ten Rings magic Mandarin.
Yeah.
The real Mandarin.
Yeah, yeah.
Is like... Because the Mandarin we got was still just a punchy dude.
Yeah, it was a pile of crap.
Like, the first good portion of Avengers movies are just punching. Like there's superpowers, but it's just, oh, I can punch better than you.
Mm-hmm.
Or shoot a missile at you. It's very physical attacking.
Yeah.
Where, you know, and even the Doctor Strange movie, for it being a magic movie, has a huge amount... of physical, like physicality.
Yeah,
to it.
Trying to overpower everything with just.
Hitting it. And it's like they use their magic to conjure weapons instead of spells.
Mm-hmm.
Where in this, you had Thanos, like, what did he turn to butterflies?
Everything. Oh, no.
He turned some shit to bubbles. He turned some shit to, like, butterflies. He turned some shit to birds. Like, there was a bunch of rocks or something falling on him, and he just turned them to butterflies.
Yeah.
And he turned the mirror dimension into a black hole.
Yeah.
That dimension may not even exist anymore.
Yeah, who
I don't
the
know.
Fuck knows? Yeah, that was some crazy shit.
But it was fun to watch characters that are punchy characters fight magic sort of shit, and it's the closest in my mind that I'll ever get to see our Tony Stark, like RDJ Tony Stark fighting the real Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
Like him just like weird, crazy.
Yeah. Pretty
goofy
great.
Shit.
Pretty
yeah.
Pretty great. And it looked amazing.
Yeah.
The special effects were super on point. We saw this in 2D.
Mm.
Just regular 2D in the theater. And, yeah, it looked great. Even all like the waves and waves of enemies and stuff coming through. Those guys looked great. Not, you know, obviously they're not real. God, I hope they're not real. But, they looked really good. The special effects were pretty on point.
I'm trying to think, where do you think they're going after this? Avengers 4, we touched on a little bit. Where do you think they're going?
Okay.
Hang on. Let's lay the ground for just so we know exactly. So at the end of this movie, half our heroes died like we talked. Thanos snapped and disappeared back to, I don't know where he was sitting. It was some grassy planet.
Yeah, his
like
home,
a farm.
His home world or whatever.
Well, it wasn't his home world because this place was still green.
Can we just talk about real quick how he grabbed a bit of a nearby moon and threw it?
Yeah.
And just like pulled it towards him, just like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just crushed a moon. It's like he crushed the mantle.
Yeah.
The outer core
of it.
And
just brought it.
Yeah, that's and then brought it in.
But yeah.
But sorry. Yeah, so at the end of this movie, Thanos has, he snapped half the people away, and then he's sitting on a farm, which is basically what happens in the comic books. And then we're left with a certain number of characters, Tony stranded with Nebula on Titan, and they're obviously just going to hop in the Milano. Nebula knows how to fly it. Tony's smart enough. Fly back to Earth. But then the gauntlet is seemingly destroyed.
Yeah.
The stones inside the gauntlet seemed real dull.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, there's a scene after Thanos snaps that it sends him to this world, and he talks to baby Gamora, who he had to sacrifice to get the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
And he talks to, like, child Gamora. And that's been confirmed that that's inside of the Soul Stone.
Okay, they confirmed that.
Yeah. All right. The Russo brothers confirmed that that is inside of the Soul Stone, which sort of has its own little world. So there's a theory, maybe, that when these people got snapped away, that maybe they went inside of the Soul Stone. Not entirely sure. There is a whole thing in the comics with Adam Warlock, who, if you stayed, he's a character that pops up in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's going to pop in our Guardians of the Galaxy. But if you stayed for the after credits scene in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, you see the those gold people. I can't remember the names. The gold people that they steal the Harbulary batteries from at the beginning. Those people, they're mad at the Guardians, so they create a perfect life form to go after the Guardians, and this character is Adam Warlock. So we know Adam Warlock is going to exist.
Okay.
And he deals a lot with the Soul Stone. Like, that's what gives him his power. I don't think that's going to be the case in the movies. I think when Adam Warlock also shows up, I'm not saying he's going to show up in this situation, but in the comics in Infinity War, Adam Warlock shows up and he's the one to ultimately defeat Thanos. But in our situation,
it's, we haven't heard of him at all, though.
Well, we have the after credits scene of Guardians 2.
Okay.
Yeah, I was trying to play it cool, like you didn't just go to the bathroom as I was monologuing there.
I missed
and explained it, but
I missed the last.
And Guardians 2, the after credits scene, those gold people, I can't remember their name, but they are like, we have created the perfect life form. I will call him Adam. That's Adam Warlock, and he's a super strong character. Deals with the Soul Stone. I don't know how it's going to play out in this. But he'll capture souls of people and send them to Soul World. And he'll just trap people in the Soul Stone.
Well, that's pretty fucking crazy.
And then in the comics, he is the one that ultimately kind of mostly defeats Thanos in the Infinity Gauntlet line.
Yeah.
But that's going to be Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel in this situation. Which
is going to be our little flashback after the world is totally altered.
Which was the after credits scene. As you see Nick Fury and Mariah Hill disappear, but you see this little beeper fall out of Nick Fury's hand where he's trying to call for some help real quick, and you see the symbol flash up, and that's Captain Marvel.
It's a code red. He sent it out.
And I guess you could say, like, well, I guess that's how serious this is, that he's, you know, he didn't call her for the Chitauri invasion or any of this.
Yeah.
Because he knew our Avengers had it, but this, he's like, fuck, Tony Stark's missing. Everybody's missing. People are disappearing. Captain Marvel. And so we're going to be getting a Captain Marvel movie.
Do we know who's playing Captain Marvel?
Brie Larson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's going to deal with the Kree-Skrull War. You've got Ronan the Accuser coming back. It takes place in the 90s.
Yeah.
Ronan the Accuser's coming back. Nick Fury's left eye is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You've got his one good eye, Philip J. Coulson, my boy, coming back. And Korath, the blood diamond guy. His name's like Damian Hensu or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Good actor. He was good in that role. I think that's awesome. They're bringing those back. So that's going to establish her power. Apparently, she is more powerful than Thor.
Okay.
And Thor was established as pretty strong as fuck in this movie.
So she's like Superman.
Yeah. She's our Superman, except not shitty.
Yeah, not shitty.
Yeah, Superman's the lame character.
Yeah, he is.
She's an Air Force pilot that gets her powers from a Kree alien or something. I don't really know. But she gets her powers, gets lost in space, and then she shows back up here. Yeah, that's gonna bridge some gap there between Infinity War and introduce her as a character, but then she's going to show up.
Right.
We're going to see her in the 90s, and she's going to show back up in Infinity War Part 2.
She'll probably, she might even show up in Ant-Man and Wasp.
Nah, I wouldn't say that.
No?
Yeah, they're pretty, just how Marvel goes about, they've got a very specific, like, leapfroggy effect to how they market their shit with their behind the scene or behind the credits stuff. Is like, so we're basically introduced to Captain Marvel at the end of this movie.
That's true.
If you recognize the logo, if not, you go home and Google it and watch a YouTube video and you're like, oh, it's Captain Marvel. So they introduced her concept in this, and then you skip a movie, mm-hmm. and then you introduce her, and then you bring her back in the next one. And they did the same thing with Thor.
Wait, I thought that was the next one that's coming out, though. Is it not?
It is. Okay. But as far as her being introduced in the current timeline, mm-hmm. that won't be for two or for three more movies. So you get her. The idea of her is introduced in Infinity War. Mm-hmm. Then she's the next movie we see.
Yeah.
And so we get introduced to her, but it's in the 90s before any of this current timeline that we know is really going on. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of its own standalone thing. And then skip one and then shows back up with our current timeline. And we're like, okay, now we're all back together and back on this thing. They did the same thing with Thor, where I think it was Iron Man 2. After credit scene, you see Thor's hammer in the desert and you're like, whoa, that's a hammer. Is that Thor's hammer? Mm-hmm. And then you skip a movie and then the next movie is Thor. And then you skip another movie and then you get to see him come back for Avengers.
But that's a different formula.
No, I'm saying it's the general same concept, just leapfrogging the marketing for each movie.
Yeah.
It's slightly different now because they've got so many balls in the air. But they did the same thing with Black Panther. You didn't see Black Panther until two movies later after Civil War. Mm-hmm. And then it skipped again. Well, yeah, the weirdest thing now, I guess, is that they did knock it off was Black Panther straight to
Infinity War. He did too, by the way.
But no, what I'm saying, they do this weird leapfroggy thing where they'll introduce in an after credits scene, skip it in the next movie, and then introduce them, skip it, and then introduce them in a team-up movie.
Seems to work out all right.
Yeah, it's worked out pretty all right so far.
It's how my dad did it. It's how Uncle Sam did it. And it worked out pretty well for them.
Yeah. Red Skull comes back, though. I wanted to talk about that.
Fucking Red Skull guarding the Soul Stone in his robes. We were saying, what other stuff did he try to throw off that cliff trying to get that mm-hmm. Soul Stone?
He's wearing these raggedy ass rags.
Not sure where he got his robe. Going.
It's because he went to that Soul World mm-hmm. with a full Nazi outfit.
That's true.
Nazi outfits were nice. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying I would wear one. I'm just saying they were Hugo Boss. They were nice.
Yeah.
It was nice clothing material.
Yeah.
He's there. He's cold as shit. You're going to love your last pair of underwear.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was like, you have to get rid of what you love the most. Throw it off that cliff.
That's it.
And in Thanos' case, it was Gamora. But mm-hmm. Red Skull was there for 90 something years. He's thrown some shit off that cliff. Yeah. And I think he threw his entire outfit gradually. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I love these socks. Keep my feet warm. I'm like, no Soul Stone.
No Soul Stone.
Yeah. And he just kept going until he was stuck with rags.
Time. Yeah. And I'm not sure where they came from.
But I don't know. Was that a realm like Asgard or was that a planet?
Tough to say. The map's gone. It's been burned. Yeah. So I guess no one really knows. Oh, and now Gamora's gone. So now no one really knows. Well, Thanos knows, I guess. He got there. And
Gamora's going to come back. I think that'll be one of the real deaths that does actually come back because she's inside of the Soul Stone.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And James Gunn kind of let it leak that she has a big role in Guardians 3. Mm. So, you know, it's...
But maybe he let it leak on purpose because not true.
Maybe, but I don't know. It's like I know all the other characters are going to come back. And hers would make the most sense as far as the real deaths go.
I still see Loki coming back. He's already come back twice.
Yeah, but so, those weren't real deaths, though.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. They had those.
They tricked it.
The Disney deaths. The Disney kills.
Yeah, explain. Explain this Disney kills.
The Disney kill is a term that I'd like to coin. They did a great job of it because there was a young girl in the theater, like a kid, maybe, I don't know, 4, 6. I didn't see her, but she was talking the whole damn time. And her, whoever it was, dad, older brother, or whatever, did a pretty good job of shutting her the fuck up during the movie.
But they had not sat directly behind us. That was obnoxious.
Yeah, but every now and then, like, he did a pretty good job of just explaining things real quick. It seemed like she had actually seen the other movies. So maybe she was a little bit older. I don't know. Her voice sounded young. Either way.
She was tiny. I think she was like 4.
Yeah.
She was tiny.
But, I mean, you don't want to show all this, like, death and violence in a Disney movie because, first of all, you're Disney. And second of all, you know, because you're Disney, you are going to have little kids come into these shows. So I think it's rated, what, PG-13 probably? Yeah. So, yeah, I guess he shouldn't have really brought her in there. But they do a really good job of showing off-screen deaths. Mm-hmm. So, like, the way you were saying, like, I said, I don't know if Loki's really dead. You said he actually is. I didn't see him turn to dust. But you hear his, essentially, neck snap off screen.
Well, that's why the dust thing is not for real. I don't know why everybody thinks the dust thing is for real.
Yeah. It's it'll be undone. Yeah,
it'll be undone.
It'll be undone.
The real deaths are the one we got to worry about.
But I've seen Loki really die, air quotes, a couple times already. But I haven't heard his neck snap. So there is that.
That's why I'm saying he did.
But yeah. There's also, you know, when Vision got the thing ripped out of his head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was limp.
Yeah.
Like Thanos was carrying him around limp legged and just like dropping him and tossing him and stuff. So I mean, they do a good job of showing death and dying without actually showing it.
Well, and draining the color out of Vision was a neat little detail.
Yeah.
To show that. Cool. Like, he went all gray. Like, I just thought that was a neat little detail. She'll like, oh, he did.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's neat. Without it being violent.
And when that fake blood got splashed on Black Widow.
Yeah, it was blue.
Yeah, it was blue. Yeah. But if that had been red, this would have been an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. No, you cannot do that in a PG-13 movie.
Mm-mm.
And then they've done a couple things like that. And that badass, it's still one of my favorite action scenes of the MCU is that Park robot drone battle in Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Where Rhodey just like.
Oh, yeah.
And the oil spraying on his mask. It's like that. Like if that were blood, that would be gruesome as shit. But because it's oil and these are just drone robots, it's just awesome.
Yeah.
And, so, yeah, there was some really gruesome shit that happened in this movie, but it wasn't. What gets me, though, is the Vision thing. Like, he was run through. They had several run throughs with Corvius Glaive's.
They did.
Glaive.
Yeah.
And and it's basically the same sort of weapon as Loki's staff from Avengers 1.
It's a little bit shorter.
Yeah, it's a shorter blade and a longer handle, but it's the same sort of thing, like a stick with a blade on a curved blade on the end. And he run through people, which makes me wonder, like, it's hard to find a copy of the Avengers these days where when Philip J. Coulson gets stabbed by Loki, it's hard to find a copy where it actually shows him being stabbed and run through. They've edited that out mostly because they said it was too gruesome.
Huh.
And it may be because Vision doesn't bleed, and it may be because Corvius Glaive bleeds blue or whatever, and Coulson bleeds red. But yeah, it's hard to find a copy of the Avengers where when Coulson gets stabbed in Avengers 1, you see the blade. Because that's how it was in theaters.
Yeah.
You could see the blade come out the front.
Right through him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly edited. The one that was, I don't know if it's still on Netflix, but the one that's on Netflix, the one, if you watch Avengers somewhere now, it's really hard to find the copy where he's run through.
That's interesting.
But I find it weird that they did it in this movie. But I guess there's
a couple times.
Yeah, several times people are run through with blades. And like where you see it enter their back and it comes out the front.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened to our boy Coulson. But they edited that one. I don't know why they would show it in this other than the fact that it's not red blood. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But no, I was impressed with the lengths they went to. With their, you know, taking people out and stuff like that. I thought it was really cool, really well done, and tactfully done.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
The deaths had purpose. It wasn't just Thanos coming down and be like, oh, yeah, all y'all are dead now.
Yeah.
Like, which they could have easily done. Of just him coming down wrecking shit.
That's true. Which, I mean, he kind of did. He came down and wrecked
some
shit.
Yeah, but it had purpose.
Yeah.
It wasn't just there for...
Are all of his henchmen, are they all dead now?
I think they're all dead.
They're all dead.
One, most of them have turned away because, like, Ronan was one, and he died in Guardians of the Galaxy. Nebula and Gamora, they would have been doing that job.
Mm-hmm.
They were, like, his two best dudes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they would have been doing that.
Yeah.
And, the one dude that got shot up into the Wakandan, like, biodome thing. Yeah, that was brutal. That was crazy. That was one of my oh shit moments in this movie. I was like, no way, he's gonna, oh, he just exploded. What the
fuck? Yeah. And it, like, ground his face down. Mm-hmm. That was brutal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they did that kind of shit with Thanos and the Power Stone and Thor in the very beginning. And he was, like, torturing him and stuff. There's quite a bit of torture in this movie. There is, they torture Gamora's sister. They torture Thor. Also, they're torturing Doctor Strange. So much torture. But yeah, again, it's a pretty tactful torture. It's a Disney sort of torture, which I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I don't know. Family friendly torture. Fun for all ages. Two thumb screws up. I'm running out of material.
No, you're talking about torture, though.
Yeah, I am.
No, I thought it was interesting because there was a lot of torture in the movie, but I thought it was interesting because torture is gruesome. Mm-hmm. Like showing some weird on-screen deaths and like somebody run through with a spear is kind of gruesome, especially for kids. But torture, I think, is more gruesome than that.
It really is.
It's got a psychological angle behind it that's fucked up. And the scene where Doctor Strange is being tortured and he has all these like crystal needles being stabbed into his face and his body, they did a really good job of animating that where you couldn't actually tell if they were slowly going into his body or if they were just pulsating with light.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really good effect they did where it could be either or. And it, like, if you had the mindset to think like, oh, that's going into his face. It's kind of fucked up. Or you could look at it and just be like, no, he's just threatening him to put it in his face and holding him there.
Oh,
and
no,
it's just pulsating.
No, it was more like, is it poking his face or is it like melding with his face? Like going into his skin and stuff like that, which are both terrible.
Yeah. But as far as being able to show kids, it was like, I guess what I'm saying is it was fucked up enough where adults would look at it and be like, oh, that's fucked up. But not enough where kids just look at it and be like, oh, he's got a Doctor Strange prisoner, you know? Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of things in here like that were fucked up, but not fucked up in a way where kids would really recognize that it's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like the Nebula, he's got her like pulled apart in pieces.
Yeah,
and
it's
if you
crazy.
Know her story, she's major cyborg lady and he's got her pulled apart in pieces and dissected. But the way it's shown and the way she's sort of portrayed as a character, I think, to kids is, oh, she's a robot lady. She's always like, you know, like adjusting her arms and things. So it's not
and then
really
he like stretches
weird.
How far apart they are. There's no wires or anything holding them together.
Yeah.
So it's not like there you can see actual tension on something. It's not like something's going to snap. But it's really weird the way they do it. And it definitely
she's
kind of
like
looks,
a spring, like if you're stretching out a slinky.
Yeah, a slinky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like that. But with her head, with her arms, with her legs. Yeah. Oh, man, when she gets that dude to come on over, and she's like, oh, well, I'm just going to go ahead and trick him with like...
When they do a really good thing with the way that shot is when you first see her, it's a forced perspective thing that reminds me of the art of Michael Murphy, who's he's a artist from, I think, South Carolina. He lives in New York now, but he does forced perspective art. Where you'll look at something head on, and when you look at Nebula, you're like, oh, that's Nebula. She's in some sort of anti-gravity chamber being held hostage.
Mm-hmm.
And then it pivots around to the right.
Yeah.
And
she's
you see,
all
it's like, oh, she's torn apart and all spread out. And she's not together at all or in any sort of good shape.
Mm-mm.
And it's a really cool force perspective thing they do to do that reveal. I thought I liked that.
Yeah. No, that was really well done. There are a whole lot of really cool shots and some really, really nice framing, too.
Yeah.
You like I think it was Black Widow or someone just showing up in Thanos' arm, like he's holding his arm like this, and you see her underneath, between his arm and his torso, and that's all there is.
I didn't even notice that.
There's stuff like, I don't know if that's exactly what it is, but something like that. There's a couple really good framing examples in the movie. They use color really well.
Color's used extensively in this. I don't know if you noticed this, but every time Thanos was using the gauntlet, whichever stones he was using at the time lit up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed that. And they used all, you got to see all the stones in action.
Oh, yeah.
Some way or another. Some I wish I would have seen elaborate a little more. But like during the big Doctor Strange battle, Doctor Strange multiplies himself.
Which was awesome.
And you see the Soul Stone light up. Mm-hmm. And you're like, that's how he figured out which Doctor Strange was the real Doctor Strange. He found his soul. And then there was a weird effect when he did that and punched Strange like through the soul world.
Mm-hmm.
The astral plane, and you see Doctor Strange sort of his soul bounce out of him for a little bit, like he does when he goes to the astral plane in his movie. So there's all these little details like that that are just phenomenal.
That was really cool.
The Doctor Strange fight with him was amazing.
That was so awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was amazing.
When Doctor Strange whips out like 16 arms, you're like, whoa.
And then just, and there's like 5 million of them.
He does this badass thing right when, they first show up in New York. He comes out and everybody's sort of just talking. And all of a sudden, Doctor Strange is like, he does this like cool little like hand motion. And then he just has spells appear. And it was just really cool to see him.
Oh, yeah, just like clapping his fists together.
Yeah, he just like. And I watched Doctor Strange, the movie, last night. So seeing this in comparison to where he was, even at the end of that, he's so far beyond where he was in that movie.
Oh, for sure.
So much more powerful.
So far behind.
Like, powerful as shit. I wish Wong had more to do. I feel like he could have done more.
He'll be back.
It's like, I know your sanctum needs
guarding.
Tony
Stark owes him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, he'll be back. But, yeah, no, that's what he's doing. Somebody's got to guard the sanctum, even though there's nothing there to guard, really, anymore. The spell books, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you got knowledge. Thanos to deal with. That's...
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back in Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet as the O.
Hmm. You got any complaints?
A couple.
Yeah.
I think Star-Lord as a hero, or so he claimed to be, should have known better than to punch
Thanos.
He should have.
Look what he did to his dad, though, in Guardians 2, when he found out his dad killed his mom.
He's fueled by that rage.
Yeah, he's very volatile like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did kind of like... Seven him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what's in the box?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, and then I don't think opening the Wakandan gate, the force field would have helped that much that they should have let those dudes through.
Because
I think they were surrounding them anyway.
It still looks but like they were surrounding. It was just kind of a big mishmash.
Yeah. For the record, these aren't problems with the movie. They're problems with how some of the heroes acted. But that's, you know, character flaws and stuff like that. The movie was great. And I thought I did a good job. It also did a really good job of mixing tragedy and comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And
it did a really good job of that.
Good balance of those. And, I mean, it did it also up into a point. And then you get to, you know, the last 20, 30 minutes of the movie. And it is, like, not a lot of music. There's no more comedy. Like, Thanos snaps his fingers, and that's the fucking end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, there wasn't even quippy dialogue. There wasn't time for quippy dialogue when you're fighting him. It's just badass special effects and teamwork. Very good teamwork.
No, we get kind of that last line of when... the last funny thing I remember really happening is when Groot and Thor and Rocket show up. Mm-hmm. And Groot's like, I am Groot. And Captain America's like, I am Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
That's kind of the last...
That's the last bit of comedy.
And that's maybe, I'd say that's 20 maybe. Minutes from the end. Because once Thanos snaps, I don't think there's 5 minutes left in the movie.
That's true.
He snaps, and it doesn't cut immediately when he snaps, but you get one last like little scene or so, and then the credits roll of him smiling, basically.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Which would have been, I still stand by it. Like, I can't wait for the edit to see if Korra's edited into that.
Yeah, you get him talking to... Young Gamora, you get a little bit of other stuff, and then people start disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. And then people disappear for a bit, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking crazy.
The snapping. That's how they're going to end. Like, I don't know if any of our listeners also watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., But I love that show because I like Philip J. Coulson. It's up in the air right now whether this fifth season is going to be the last one. But they've said they've written it in case they don't get greenlit. This will serve as a
series ending. Finale.
And I think how they're going to do it is they've got their whole arc they're doing right now. And they're going to do it. And the end is just going to be some of them starting to disappear. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of show how futile what they've been doing.
Yeah, it's like, oh. This whole time.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's going to be any sort of involvement with the Netflix series. Because, I mean, they mentioned the event and stuff like that, too. Yeah. And this affects the entire universe.
Yeah.
Which I assume includes the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I was assuming the Netflix shows have almost hit a point where they're running on a slightly different timeline than the movies. They're pretty much there. But, like, it was pretty much like Daredevil picked up, even though it was current. But it picked up about a year after, maybe 2 years after the Battle of New York. And then there's stuff that runs concurrent to Daredevil. So even though you're like Jessica Jones is happening like sort of during Daredevil, I believe. And then you've got Luke Cage that happens technically before Jessica Jones, I think. So it's like their timeline is a little bit more wonky, which gives them a little bit more room to play.
Eventually, it's got to catch up, though.
Yeah.
I don't see there being a way where it doesn't.
Yeah. Some of them would have had to disappear.
Yeah.
You know, and Iron Fist season 2 started filming today. Luke Cage, they just put a trailer out for Luke Cage season 2. Mm. Jessica Jones season 3 has been greenlit.
Daredevil?
Yeah, they're definitely doing a Daredevil season 3. I don't know when that's coming, but they've announced it because Kingpin's going to come back.
Sweet.
Yeah, I don't know how they'll work that in because they do talk about the incident, but then they do stuff like talk about Mr. Stars and Stripes and they don't just call him Captain America.
Right. That's true.
So
that's true. I don't know.
I would like to see way more crossover from all that. And I hate that they can't play nice. I would like to see an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. movie because Daisy Johnson, the character of Sky, aka Quake, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., she is at a power level now in that show where she could contend with Avengers.
Okay.
You know, I think she could keep the Hulk at bay because her power is that she can vibrate atoms and cause earthquakes. Via that way she can vibrate that she can vibrate a gun apart she can vibrate atoms and if she can do that that's the same concept as those sonic cannons that held the Hulk back in his movie that could like you know it would just hold him back she could constrain the Hulk I'm pretty sure.
Speaking of, I would like to see something where they get separated because they've been obviously going through a thing in this movie.
How does that work though physically?
I want to say that because
there's one body.
Something about gamma radiation and it splits him off. And then there's Red Hulk, I think, because that's just
that's general rage. Yeah, but no, that's General Ross.
That's General Ross. Yeah,
Red Hulk in a just how he always wants to catch Bruce Banner.
Yeah. I'll become
a Hulk and then I'll catch him. And he becomes Red Hulk.
That's right. Okay. Well, then maybe Gray Hulk. Maybe Banner, ends up reasoning with the Hulk. We already saw him having more sort of dialogue.
Yeah.
Now the Hulk's starting to talk back and sort of
Or Joe Fix It. Do you know about Joe Fix It?
Yes.
Hulk becomes smart. Basically Hulk with Bruce Banner's intelligence.
Yeah. That's Gray Hulk, isn't it?
Kind of. They may be the same thing.
Maybe. It's maybe like, he like masquerades like when Beast goes out in public.
Yeah. No, like there's apparently some sort of behind the scenes stuff from Hulk is apparently Mark Ruffalo before Thor Ragnarok went to Kevin Feige because Kevin Feige, I don't know who went to who, but apparently they were talking about doing another Hulk standalone movie and doing Planet Hulk, which is obviously led into Thor Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. And instead of doing another Hulk movie, they opted to unfolding this story of the Hulk and doing this whole story that would be worthy of a movie for the Hulk, but unfolding it across the course of Avengers films over the course of 5, 6, 7 years.
Okay.
So that's what we're in the middle of with the Hulk right now, is some big arc that he's going on.
Yeah.
That they initially thought about putting into a movie, but they've decided to spread it out. And let so it maybe really he develop hears more
because I mean, you bring back Ant-Man and he's, you know, he's super smart. And I think that he'd be one of the ones to definitely be able to help the Hulk out. But yeah, anything that happens with that, I think at least you hear about it in Ant-Man Wasp, which I don't know. I'm not really excited for that movie.
It Yeah, I'm not super excited. It looks strange to me. Like, the cinematography in it looks like it's not, it doesn't feel in place with the MCU. But I'm going to see it. I'm excited because it's going to set up the Quantum Realm shit.
Yeah.
I've got predictions for that movie. I'm not super excited about it. Not that I'm not looking forward to it. It's just, it's not the characters I care about. I want to care about them. It's just, they're low on my priority
list. Although, to be fair, I didn't really care about the Guardians when they first came out.
Exactly.
That first movie is awesome.
Why, yeah, which is why I'm saying I'll go see it. I am still sort of excited about it. It's just overall, in the grand scheme of Marvel, it's one of the Marvel movies I'm less excited about. But what they're going to do is they'll go and rescue Hank Pym's wife.
Oh, yeah, because she's
Van
in the,
Dyne. She's stuck in the Quantum
stuck
Realm.
Stuck in the Quantum Realm.
That's going to show them that they can dick around in the Quantum Realm. And then through that, they'll figure out a way to time travel.
That seems like a movie that'd be worth seeing in 3D.
I loved Ant-Man 1 in 3D.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
And Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange was cool in 3D. This one, there were a couple parts where I could see maybe, but not worth it.
I may go see it in 3D just because I've seen it a lot now, just so I can say I've seen it in 3D. And I do like the spectacle, but I find I lose a lot on 3D viewings, especially if it's my first viewing of a movie. It's so much spectacle.
Oh, there's
I get lost in there.
Unconfirmed, this movie may or may not at some point be playing at the aquarium downtown.
It is one of the first movies fully shot on IMAX film. Yeah.
Nice. But that would be pretty cool. It's very fun to watch.
When IMAX it's not just a bigger screen, it's a bigger format. So you're getting more picture.
Yeah, sound.
Even if you go see it at one of the bullshit IMAXs that's just been rebranded, like where we saw it today. Like today, it was a smaller screen than our IMAX, but the picture was slightly larger on the bottom and top. You get slightly more full frame image. Like where a standard movie is 185:1, so on and so forth, you get a slightly different aspect ratio.
Okay.
So you get a little bit more picture, which I think is neat.
Yeah, that's nice. So,
but that's about all I got to say, man.
I think it's been kind of late. I got it all out of me.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in. I'm sure we'll keep talking about it over the coming weeks.
Yeah.
As we, have guests on and have our own thoughts. And after you let this sink in, because I was in a heft for a couple days, like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Because it's a hefty movie. There's a lot that happens there.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll watch it again. Yeah. I'll find a copy somewhere and pay for it and watch it legally, I'm sure, with the express written consent of Disney. What we need to do, I think, is keep collecting Infinity Stones ourselves so that we have an entire set by the time the next one comes out.
Yeah.
Thanos.
We only need, we've got half of them here.
We do.
Yeah.
We got the Tesseract. We've got the Eye of Agamotto.
Ad orb right there.
You got the orb.
As Yondu would say.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about that orb.
That's right. Power. Yeah. Power stone orb. Right here.
And then we got, the sling ring.
We got a sling ring.
Shield. We don't have the shield out here, but.
Oh, yeah. We got Captain America's shield and Iron Man helmet.
We'll post pictures. You guys will see it.
I've got the cloak or the cape.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of levitation.
So. Well, anyway, let's close this thing out. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it. I had a good time with this. I had some good beers. Should we wrap it up and say like what our favorites were?
Yeah, let's rank our beers real quick. I'm going to go, I think that mashup may have been my favorite. The Collective Arts mashup.
Yeah.
I like that dry hop sour.
That's quite tasty.
Next is going to be that Finch and that smell.
Yeah. Oh, it's just so bad.
On that Goza.
I can't get past it.
From Collective Arts. It tastes good. But that smell, my God, that smell is bad. I mean, it's just a bad smell. It's not even bad for a beer. It's just a bad, bad smell. Yeah, it smells like I said, trash juice. But the beer is good. I think I'm
ranking them the same as you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll give this bad smell one like a 6 overall because I like the taste.
The taste is good.
If it didn't taste good, I would give it like a 4 or a 3.
I would give the taste like an 8.
I'd give the taste like a 7.
Yeah, but the smell is almost unbearable.
So bad. The Hardcore Chimera, I enjoyed. Danger Beer.
That is a Danger Beer.
9% and does not taste it and does not smell it. Juicy, good. I'd give it like a 7.5, 8. This one was a nice way to round it out, and I'll give this like a 8.5. As well.
Yeah, let me get some more of this.
Mash up the jam.
Mash up the jam.
Yeah.
Congratulations, we have a winner. So, yeah, these were all very interesting. We're also sipping on, you had some Magic Hat number 9. You said you got it Publix.
Yeah.
And I'll have to stop by Magic's, there.
Magic Sombrero Numero Nueve, which is one of my favorite beers.
It's good.
The beer drinking with my buddy Brett at college that, you know, there was Stella and stuff, but it was the beer that I was like, whoa, this actually tastes good. It wasn't just me like muscling through it, mm-hmm. you know, and pretending to like it or something like that. Yeah, I was like, whoa, this is actually a good beer. Yeah, let's close out here. So again, get down to Riverside this weekend, Friday and Saturday, 4 to 6. Try that. Check us out at thehoppedupnetwork.com and then at brewchat.com and then brewchat across all social media.
Instagram especially.
Yeah. Instagram is probably where we really flex some shit. So yeah. Go check us out on Instagram.
We're good at follow taking us. Pictures and stuff.
Yeah. Like us, subscribe us, hit that like button and get us on iTunes, all that good stuff. If you're not subscribed to our RSS feed for the podcast, please do that. It makes sure you get, you know, it ensures you get the freshest episodes, same as you'd want your beers. That's you right. want the freshest episodes when you can get them. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Mm-hmm. We're done talking to you. Go and see Infinity War. Then listen to this, but you already have if you're hearing this. And we will see you guys next week. This has been episode 139.
Woo!